How many of you know Scripture very well by memory? I'm going to ask you tonight if you know Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's the verse that says, without faith, shall we quote it together? Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Good verse, isn't it? What is stated in that verse, the first part of the verse, without faith it is impossible to please Him. What is stated in that verse is that you and I must, by faith, have our relationship with God. But what is implied in that verse that's not stated is an interesting concept, and that's something that many of us miss. What is implied in that verse that's not stated? Anybody have an idea? The first part of that verse, that phrase, without faith it is impossible to please Him. With faith you can please Him. Yes, absolutely, that's there. What else? No, this isn't fair. We took a nap this afternoon, and now I have to think. No. What else is implied in that first statement? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You want? Pardon me? Absolutely. It has to be, because we need to have faith in God. It has to be grounded in Him. I'm going to give you one more thing and you see if once I state it, that if that isn't implied in that verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. A normal relationship with God is one where you and I will desire to please God. I have met many Christians today that really believe God is here to please them. But a normal relationship with God is one where you and I have a desire, because we have a relationship with Him, a desire to please Him. I want to please God. Now, as I say that, I've come to the conclusion, if you do not have a desire to please God, I wonder what kind of a relationship you have with God. Because this is not stated as something that you and I need to look for or desire. It's stated in such a way that a normal relationship with God, somebody that has faith in God, will have a desire to please God. I thought that was interesting as I was looking at it. The way the Lord hit me with this, I was at a senior high camp speaking to senior high students and young people, and as I was there, I was speaking on the subject of faith. And this was the theme: without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But then, as we went on in the theme, I started seeing, you know what? These kids really don't care if they please God. They're really not that concerned with pleasing God. And I've wondered how many times we as Christians think God is here for us rather than us here for Him. Wow. There's other verses in Scripture that talk about faith. Colossians chapter 2 says, as you've received Him, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Him? The verse before says in Colossians 2 that you received Him by faith, and we're to walk by faith. We need to have faith in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by what? Sight is the opposite of that. I have to see it. Now, this is an interesting concept that I run across. A lot of people will say to me, I just don't see it. And when I hear that, that's just the problem. You don't see it. You have to see it. Walking by faith means I trust God, and I'm going to do it His way, no matter what He says, no matter how it looks, because He's God. And I need to do it that way. I need to follow Him. I need to trust Him. I need to do it His way. Because I walk by faith, not by sight. I have a... Just think for a second. When we're saved, we're taken from the world and we're placed into the body of Christ. But as a Christian now, I can either walk by faith or I can walk in the Spirit. And what is the opposite of that? If I walk in the flesh, I'm not walking in the Spirit, because the two battle against each other, and we get frustrated with that battle, don't we? I mean, it's one that we are actively engaged in. So we yield ourselves to God. We yield ourselves to Him to work in us and through us, and the Spirit is the one working through us, and we yield that control. So if I'm walking by means of the Spirit, I'm not walking in the flesh. And if I'm walking by means of the Spirit, I'm walking by faith. I'm not walking by sight. And if I'm walking by means of the Spirit, I'm walking in the light as He is light. It's interesting. If I'm walking in the flesh, I'm walking by sight, but I'm walking in what? Darkness. That's why you don't see it if you're walking in your flesh. You won't see it. Walking by faith, not by sight, walking in the light, and as Jesus said in John 12, walking in the light of life. This is where I experience what God would have for me, walking by means of the Spirit. This is where I experience that life and life more abundant. And if I walk in the darkness, then I'm walking in the darkness of what? It's the opposite of life. Death. I'm not going to experience what God has. I'm missing out. I made a statement in our first church, and I was challenged when I made that statement. I was just a young man. And I made the statement that any time we sin, we lose. And somebody challenged me. And I thought that was interesting that they would challenge me to begin with in that statement, because I thought everybody understood that sin is a detriment. It is hurtful to us. But they said, no, not every time. Yes, you do. Every time you sin, you're not walking by means of the Spirit. You somehow have allowed your flesh, you've somehow not been doing what God wanted you to do at that point, and you've accepted that because you've gone out and walked by means of the flesh, and you've sinned. You lost. What did you lose? You lost experiencing what you would have experienced walking in the Spirit. When we disciplined our kids, we would always say, ask the question, is how could you have done this correctly? We wanted them to understand that there's an option and you made a choice. It's good for us to understand that, because we do choose all the time. The Bible says that we need to walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says we need to walk by means of the Spirit, not our flesh. And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Bible also says in Romans 14:23, without whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So, God is faithful. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Have you ever heard of introductions that are an hour long? And wrap it up in 5 minutes? Verse 24 says this. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I'm going to ask the question tonight, am I living the Christian life right? Am I living it right, or did I miss something? Am I walking right? How do I know I'm right? Well, we've already talked about it a little bit. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But let's go, if you would. God is faithful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. Paul's defending himself before the Corinth church. I love the book of 1 Corinthians. It's actually a book that is probably very, very hard to take. If you go through and look at all of the things that he said to the church at Corinth, telling them who they were, what they were doing, their glorying's not good, this is wrong, that's bad. And then he comes to the second book of Corinthians and the second letter, and he says, I was concerned how you might take this book, that first book, because I had to be a little bit hard on you. He's doing that in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians because these people are puffed up in their own selves. They have confidence in themselves. Matter of fact, they look at themselves and think they're better than somebody else. But it goes both ways, because I run into Christians who think they're not ever good enough. They can't live the Christian life. They can't be what they need to be. They're frustrated in trying to walk with God. They're having difficulty having any kind of a consistent relationship with God. They're struggling in their daily life. They're struggling in their personal life. They're allowing sin to enter in. And if only people knew what they really are outside of church, nobody would like to know them. And they live a life of guilt. They live a life of pain. They live a life of torture, a tortured heart and a tortured soul. Am I doing what right is right? Am I right in my walk with my God? I want to give you just a very basic thing tonight for all of us. What does God require of us? That we produce lots of fruit. That we have lots of souls lined up saying, these are the ones that we were able to reach for Christ. That we have lots of missionaries that we've supported. That we have all these great things and plaques on the walls because of all these great things we've done and accomplished over the years. What is that? Is that what God's looking for us? Is that what's proving we are a good, solid Christian? That we are walking with God and we're living exactly what God would have us to live? What is it you and I look to in our lives to show that I'm walking with my God? What is it we look to show that we're walking correctly in this life? I like what Paul's teaching them here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, because he's actually defending himself in the first part here. He says this in verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Productive. No? Faithful. How many times do we look at the productivity of mankind, of Christians around us, and make a judgment of that? How many times do we say, this is where the value is, that's not where it is, because look at the product? I think we missed it. We've emphasized something we shouldn't emphasize to a length and depth that we shouldn't have let it become in our circles, in our lives. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Then he says in verse 3, but with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. I let God do that. Then he goes on and he says, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? He that judgeth me is the Lord. You and I are going to give an account to the Lord. What is he looking at? He said that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Faithful in our walk with him. I like to think about God's will because Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 speaks of it. And last time I was here, I brought it out about God's will is good. But you and I must be committed to whatever God would have for you and me. Committed to his will, to his way, his working in us. Committed not only so much so that we're content in his will, which means we accept what position he's placed us in life. Our role in this life. You were born where? To what family? Put in that family. You had nothing that you could say about that. But God's allowed that. God had you in that place. God had you in that. And so many people look at their life and they say, oh, if I was only this, I'd be okay. If I only had that opportunity, I'd be okay. If I only had that this amount of things, I'd be okay. No, God's will starts with you understanding and being content in who God has made you to be. Because God's going to judge you based on your faithfulness, not in what you were made to be. You know, I was born in Idaho, about 20 miles from where I live now. But my parents moved away from Idaho, where some of our relatives were, and they moved to Wyoming when I was just a little boy. And I grew up in Cody, Wyoming. And because of that, I was very rural. In my nature, I would grab my .22 when I got home from school when I was 13, 14, 15 years old and just take off till it got dark. And I usually got home just after dark because you can walk in the dark in the twilight, you know. It's you can do that. And I just enjoyed it. It was a great time for me. You don't do that in the city. It just doesn't work. People look at you funny. Matter of fact, in this day and age, they do more than that. It's amazing. I heard just this last week or two that a little girl, 5-year-old girl, was pretending she was using a stick as a gun or something and pointing it at somebody, 5 years old, and they expelled her from school. How silly we've gotten. Boy, when I was growing up, we played cowboys and Indians. We built forts. We did all that good stuff. Why? Because we're going to protect ourselves. And, you know, it was a great time. My wife was raised in the city. I think, and I use this phrase, I think she's citified me. That's not a bad thing. I've learned to appreciate what I didn't grow up with because it's a great thing. I like going to the city. I like some of the great things that they have in these large communities. I don't know about you, but it takes 20 minutes to get about anywhere. You know, 5 blocks away sometimes. But no, you know how traffic can be, don't you? We live on Eagle Road, or just off of Eagle Road in Idaho, and that's the largest, or the 4-lane, that is the busiest 4-lane in the state. When we moved there, it was a 2-lane road because where we live was a small community then. That's how much development's happened in that time. I've learned to really enjoy my classical music as everybody fusses and fumes in traffic. I don't mind it. But then I can get out and go backpacking in the summertime. I can do all those things. I had a great life growing up. But you know what I found out? Not everybody had that. Some had a very terrible life growing up. Some grew up with abusive parents. I don't know. But does that control your life now? Is that what runs you? Are you playing the victim? Do you think you can't be godly in your life? You think you can't be pleasing to the Lord because you're still back there? Haven't you dealt with those things? God knows all that about us. God knows where we've been. God knows what's been in our past. God knows where these people had been. And I like how he puts it in 1 Corinthians there. He talks about what they were. Because I can imagine, as he says in chapter 10, he's talking about different people and the different things they were. And he says, and such were some of you. And I imagine as he wrote those words, he remembered, oh, that was so-and-so, and so-and-so was this, and so-and-so was that. But then he says, you're not that anymore. This is what you are. Corinth had a terrible problem with their image. A terrible problem understanding who they were in Christ. A terrible problem looking around them and judging people and the way God works in hearts and lives. And they did the same thing of Paul. And as you come to this portion, he's trying to get them to understand, you're looking at men and you're making wrong judgments. You're not seeing things the way God sees them. And I've got to tell you this. If we don't see this the way God sees it, we are going to be of all men most miserable, because in this life, this is crucial. This is absolutely crucial. Look what it says. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then I like this last phrase, because it's contrary to what a lot of people think. And then shall every man have praise of God. Wow. What does it mean to be faithful? Look what it says in verse 6. Paul's saying that you're judging each other, you're looking at these things. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Can I say this? You even, and we even in our own lives, do that to ourselves. I can't do that because I'm not good enough. I can't be that because I'm not good enough. We put our own selves down, but we're puffed up. We think we're in control of God, in a sense. I can't do that. Well, yes, you can if God wants you to. You can be it if God wants you to. That's why he comes to this conclusion in verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? What is required of us? What is required of stewards? We need to understand, God's given us everything we have. Every good gift and every perfect gift came from who? Absolutely. So why would you and I glory like we accomplished something? We made it happen. It's by the grace of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He's coming to the conclusion in the last of the book. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then he summarizes it to summarize the last part. By the grace of God, I do what I do. It's not me. It's the grace of God. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's him that gets the glory. And what is required of you and me? Simply that we be found faithful. Faithful. I don't know how many people are discouraged because they can't be like so-and-so. You know, they have such a faith. They just walk with God and it's just so great. But maybe God didn't call you to be them. Matter of fact, I'm sure he didn't call you to be them. He called you to be you. And he placed you in the body of Christ. And God has made you different than anybody else because you have your own unique place in the body. And you say, I don't know if I can do that. Well, God's going to give you the grace and enablement to do whatever he sets before you. Whatever that looks like. And Jesus himself said some are going to be 30-fold. Some are going to be 60. Some are going to be 100. Yeah, but I'm only a 30. That's okay. You be faithful at 30. You be who you are, who God's made you. That's the key to it. It is not that you and I accomplish some great things. We've already got it all figured out, and we're the ones that are going to make it happen. Boy, when the world sees us, we're going to be those people on fire for God, and we're going to have all these things happen because we're on the scene now. You know, I see guys come out of college that are exactly like that. And how long do they last? You get a reality check real quick, don't you? I remember we had a guy come to our church and he was speaking and I remember as a pastor, and I don't know what he was doing, how he was doing it, but he was trying to get everybody to move and come forward and do all these things. And one of our men said, in a typical Western attitude, if he thinks he's going to get me to come forward, he's got another thing coming. You wake up to the reality. That's the way it is, isn't it? Sometimes. You know, that man came forward several times as I spoke. He and I, the Lord knit our hearts together in a special way. It was so unique. And being who he was, and all that God had blessed him with in finances and farms and lands and livestock and all of that, to see him so humble. God requires of us that we simply be faithful. That word faithful is an interesting word. Steadfast in affection and allegiance. Remember this morning I'm talking about that single-hearted loyalty to Christ? People who cling. Stewards have the idea of an ownership. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm Christ's. I'm his. For him to work in me, for him to work through me as he sees fit, and I am content, I am committed to his will, I'm accepting his will, that whatever it looks like, if God wants me to change, if God wants me to do something, it doesn't matter. I'm faithful and loyal to him. I'm not in a place or a position to try and impress people. Because that really, you know, you're not going to be impressed. That's not what it's all about. People see through phoniness, don't they? I learned a long time ago, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put on a show. Because that's not what works. That's not real holiness. That's not true faith. That's not true righteousness. It's Christ living in me, being found faithful to Him. And let Him do the results. Whether there be any, whether there be some, whether there be much, be content with Him. Faithfulness is God's requirement of us. And we get so caught up in looking at, I need to be a soul winner. I need to be a witness. I need to be a better student of the Word. I need to be a better prayer warrior. I need to be a better father. I need to be a better mother. I need to be a better grandfather. I need to be a better grandmother. You know, all those things are good in and of itself. I was at another camp and all the kids were coming to me and saying, I need to be doing more for God. I need to be doing more for God. I need to be doing more for God. And they were good kids. They were good kids. But we had a question and answer time for an hour a day where I was alone with the kids and they could ask me anything. And we had some good sessions. And as we were going through those sessions, this kept coming up. I just need to be doing more for God. And I said, that's a great desire. And I like that. And it sounds very spiritual. But that is not the focus of your and my life. The focus of your and my life is simply walking with our Savior and letting God do through us as He sees fit, whatever that is. I can guarantee you this, He does good. His will is good. It's acceptable. It's well-pleasing. And it's complete. It has everything you're going to need in His will. And I told those young people, let me just tweak what you're saying. It's not the focus of your life that you do for God. The focus of your life is to walk with your God. And let God do through you as He wills. That's the key. We miss that. We miss that. We get focused on, I've got to be doing this, I've got to be doing that. Well, God knows what's going on in your life. You just need to be found faithful to Him. And I can guarantee you where He's going to lead you, in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, right? You just need to be found faithful to Him. You'll be amazed at what He'll do in you and through you. A vessel that is fit for the Master's use, that is available to Him to work in and through as He sees fit, it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing when it doesn't matter who gets the credit for it. It's amazing because when we're doing and living a life this way, we know who's doing it. It's Him doing it. And so who gets the credit? God does. If I'm anything, if you're anything today, it's because of God. It's God that gets the glory. This morning in Sunday school, I asked the question, how do I know if I'm spiritual? Tonight, how do I know I'm doing it right? Number one, you're faithful. You're faithful. But number two is this. Your life is all about Christ. If you are truly spiritual, it is not about you. It's about Him and what He wants to do in you and through you. It's about His glory. It's about glorifying Him, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to His glory. Because that's where God is going to lead you. That's going to be an attitude of your heart. That's going to be a drive of your life. Because you want to see Christ glorified. And we don't make that happen. The Holy Spirit will do it in us and through us as we simply walk with Him and are found faithful. I'm maintaining this relationship. It's real. It's ongoing. It's vital. God's working in me. He's changing me. He's molding me. I asked the question this morning, when was the last time you were convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit and you knew it? Let me ask you another question tonight. What is God working on in your life through the Holy Spirit right now in building you in this last week? Where is God working? All of us should be conformed to the image of His Son, and that should be an ongoing process because none of us have arrived yet, have we? I remember the question was asked in a church, and the pastor says, does anybody know anybody perfect? And one little old man raised his hands, and he says, and the pastor's kind of surprised. He says, you know somebody perfect? He says, well, I didn't really know him. I just hear about him. Well, who was that? My wife's first husband before he died. I wonder what he was hearing. What is God doing in your life? How is He changing you? How is He molding you even right now? What has He been working on this last week? Where is He leading you? Are you faithful to Him? Can you answer those type of questions? We ought to be able to answer them, and it should be just real easy. Why? Because God's working in our life. We're walking with God, and we're experiencing what God has for us, and He's continuing to work in us and through us, and we're faithful in this relationship. We're faithful to Him. We're faithful to whatever He sets before us, and there's none of us better than another because God is building each of us the way He wants to build each of us. What do you have that you didn't receive from God? Well, you know, I'm a spiritual person. I've studied the Scriptures, and I know doctrine, and I know all these things, and, you know, you should listen to me. You should listen to the Lord. And God somehow uses us. And I think it's an incredible thing that God would use me in my life. And I always pray that He will as He sees fit. My life is not about me. It's about my Savior. It's about what He wants. And I can tell you, that changes, continues to change what He wants. You never know what's set before you. We go through hard things sometimes, don't we? You already know what we've gone through. That was just one of several things. You don't know what it's like to go through hardships in special ways in somebody else's life. But you certainly know about them in your own, don't you? We all know. God knows. But what's required in you? Well, you know, if you do everything just right, you'll never have any problems. And if you're having problems, something must be wrong. And you're not walking by faith. And if you were walking by faith, you wouldn't have those kind of problems. And you wouldn't have those kind of thoughts. And you wouldn't have those kind of issues. You know what? You and I just simply need to get down to the grassroots of it all and see what Scripture says. What is required of me? How do I know if I'm doing it right? I simply must be faithful. I must walk by faith in Him, and He will use me for His glory. This church at Corinth was bragging on who they were. You know, they had all those different sections in the eating compartment. This is for the upper level people. This is for the lower level. And believe me, I know about levels. They had three sons, and Janina and I, and we were at our house and we were doing that construction project, in our second church on our home, and we had a guy come help us for a little bit, and he'd say, "Hey, I need a level over here," and five of us would show up. And he'd say, "That's not funny, I need a level. We're here." No, you know what? What is required of us? That we be found faithful. That we walk with Him. Corinth is judging each other. They have all these different categories for people. You're okay. Yep, you're doing good. You're not quite as good. You're not as important as those other people. So let's do, you know. James talks about that too, doesn't he? Isn't that kind of a tendency for us as mankind? It's something we have to fight, isn't it? Well, you know, you're not as lovely as, and you know, you've had this in your past, and you know, that's, oh, you know, this is terrible, and you know, you certainly can never be a good Christian because, you know, you had that in your past, and I'm sorry. We make those judgments all the time. When God says, be found faithful, who makes you differ from one another? Who makes you to where you think you're better? I'm going to turn that down the other way. Who makes you think you're worse? Who makes you think that you can't do? You can't be? It's the same thing. God makes you able. You just need to be found faithful. You need to be walking with Him. You need to keep Him first place in your life. You need to deal with those issues. He's the one that makes you able. He's the one that performs it. Who builds your life? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will what? He'll continue to do it, won't He? Do you believe that? There's that faith again. I believe you, God. I'm going to stick with you. I'm faithful. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going anywhere else. And I'm going to let you work in me and through me as you see fit in whatever way you want to do it. I like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understandings. Boy, do we spend a lot of time there. This is the way I see it. You know, I can talk about our first church and the blessings God gave us there. I can talk about the second church that we pastored and the blessings God gave us there. But you know what? I don't know that they were successes because I'm not the judge. God is the judge of that. They may have been complete failures. I don't know. I hope not. I just want to be found faithful. God is the one that's in control of this. What about the guy that's pastoring a church in a little community of 30? And he's been at 30 for the last 15 years. You know, if you'd really get with it and you'd really work at it, you could get 31. No. It may be that God wants him to pastor 30 people. They need a pastor. They need somebody who'll share the word and encourage them and love them with God's kind of love. What makes him less faithful than the pastor of a church of 500? What makes him less productive? It's faithfulness to God. It's faithfulness that's the key. So how do you know you're doing right? Are you walking with God? Are you walking by faith? Are you faithful to Him? You and me, God, let's go. It's all about you. I'm willing to do, I'm willing to be, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to do anything you want to put before me, God. It's you. It's your life. It's you. It's all about you. And God uses us for His glory, because we certainly don't have it in and of ourselves, do we? It has to come from Him. He must be the one that's working. He has to do this. It's by His grace. It's by His work. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's my God. He works to His glory. Are you faithful? Are you faithful not just to church, but to Him? To Him. There's a big difference. Well, I'm doing all the right things. I didn't say, are you doing more for God? I said, are you being faithful? Faithful to Him. I hope and pray you are. That's where you'll experience God's blessing and God's saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've let Him work in you and through you as He sees fit. Faithfulness is the key. It's not the product that's the key. Faithfulness is the key. And God brings the fruit as He sees fit. In His way, in His time, and for His glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. So many times we get caught up in just simply trying to make things happen, trying to put things together in our lives to make it work. When really, Lord, we ought to be those that walk by faith. We ought to be those that have a desire to just simply please You with every ounce of our being. And Lord, as we have this relationship with You, You just simply want us to be faithful to You. Faithful to You and Your working in us and through us. And Lord, You will produce the results. You give the increase. We will do that which You set before us. And God, You will make things happen. And then You will get the glory for it, and it'll be obvious who's doing it. Lord, so many times we think we can't do something, or we're not good enough, and we put ourselves down. We say we can't do this or that, but Lord, it's the same thing. We're not trusting You. We're not walking by faith, believing that what You set before us we can accomplish as You work through us. God, You want us to be witnesses. But Lord, in our strength, we can't. But as You work in us and through us, You'll guide us right into that. We don't have to make it happen. It will happen as an outpouring of You in our lives. You want us to be good husbands and good wives. And God, You will make that happen as we walk with You, as we are godly. God, You bring us into good, for good comes from You. You want us to be good parents. And God, You'll make us good as we walk with You and we're godly, faithful to You. It's not hard, but we make it so complex sometimes. Lord, You just simply want us to walk with You in whatever role, whatever position, wherever You place us, according to Your will for our lives, just simply walking with You and being faithful.